Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. We're going to look now at some of the aspirations contained in the lengthy programme for government that was made public during the week. Now, there are big plans when it comes to numbers of healthcare professionals that are going to be brought into the health service under this new government. We're told that they're going to, quote, double the number of college places for speech and language therapists, physiotherapists, psychologists and social workers. And they're also going to, quote, recruit additional doctors, nurses, dentists and health and social care professionals, as well as increasing the number of psychiatric nurses, neurology nurse specialists, consultant neurologists, and that's on top of a new dedicated national therapy service in education that will require more therapy in the country's classrooms. That's over and above what exists in the HSE's community disability network teams, where there are currently, I think, a gap of about 700 professionals in those complementary professions. Now, while this is all laudable as an aspiration, is there any plan to train and retain the necessary healthcare workers? And it's on that issue, particularly of retention, that I've been speaking to Dr. Niamh Humphreys from the Royal College of Surgeons. She works on gathering data on the recruitment and retention of health staff, and I began by asking her if the extra health staff will most likely be recruited from abroad.
I'm not sure whether they'll look abroad or not, but I think that every time there's mention of increased services or increased working hours, you need to ask who is going to do the workload. Is it for the existing staff to absorb the additional workload, or is additional recruitment or training needed? Are more staff needed to do this work? I think Ireland at the moment is very heavily reliant on internationally trained doctors. About half of our registered nurses and midwives and 44% of our registered doctors are internationally trained. So I think in recent times, we definitely have relied very heavily on internationally trained staff to staff the health system. And when you look at the new entrants to the register, it's even a greater reliance. So 3/4 of new entrants to the nursing and midwifery register and 71% of new entrants to the medical register are internationally trained, which is incredible. It's really great that they're here helping the system to kind of keep running and healthcare to be delivered. But it does suggest that either we're not training enough health workers to meet demand, or we're not retaining enough health workers to meet demand. So it kind of suggests that we're out of step, really, in terms of our health workforce planning. It's also not in line with what the World Health Organization recommends in terms of sustainability. They recommend that countries like Ireland should train and retain enough health workers to meet demand. And our high reliance on international staff would indicate that we're not there. We haven't achieved self-sufficiency. And I think that that's really important for the Irish health system to address as it looks to expand services in the system.
All right. The World Health Organization's concern is that effectively recruiting from poorer countries affects the health services there when the capacity is here to staff our own services.
Absolutely. They just say that countries that can, that countries like Ireland that have the resources, should be training, retaining and sustaining a workforce to meet demand. And I think when we know that demand is going to increase further in the coming years and decades, it's really important that we either increase the training or improve the retention of staff to ensure that we're less reliant on internationally trained staff to kind of meet demand.
And on that retention issue, I mean, there has been a culture of nurses and doctors emigrating, getting good training abroad and then coming back and using those skills in the Irish health service. But data would suggest that people are staying away for a while. Looking even at the Australian example, there were Irish citizen doctors between 2022 and 2023. There were 410 of them in Australia. That had gone up by 50% in the 2023 to 24 period, from 410 to 624.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a really strong culture of doctor emigration, and it's one that has benefited the Irish health system, in that, you know, when doctors return with the skills and experience they've obtained abroad, that's a really good thing for the system. But I think we need to keep an eye on those emigration figures. I think during the recession, the reasons that doctors emigrated changed. They stopped emigrating just for additional skills and experience, and they started to emigrate also to escape from the working conditions in the Irish health system. And I think when you see the numbers increase as high as they have last year to 624, I think we really need to ask, why are those doctors leaving? And what might encourage them back? I mean, it's mostly early career doctors. I think 80% of those doctors are early career doctors rather than kind of consultants and more senior doctors. But still, it's a very large number relative to the number that we're training. We train about 750 doctors each year. So we need to ask why they're leaving and what might encourage them back. And those reasons for leaving probably change all the time. In 2018, definitely, when I spoke to doctors in Australia, it was very much about unsustainable ways of working in the Irish health system that encouraged them to leave. But we need to know, is that still the case? Have things changed? And if they have, what are we going to do to encourage people back? Because 6 to 4 doctors to one destination country is a lot of doctors to leave a country in a given year.
All right. And one problem in a way begets the other because, you know, people leave, but then you have a system that's under pressure with a lot of vacancies in the system. The INMO, that's the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organization, says there are 2,000 posts for nurses and midwives currently vacant. There's a fifth of hospital consultant posts empty as well. So what would attract people back into a system where they know they're probably going to have to take up slack from those vacancies?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I spoke to doctors in the system over the last 2 years, hospital doctors working in the Irish health system, it was really, really difficult to work in a system that was short-staffed. There was a feeling that the workload was just too much because it's shared between fewer people. They felt like they'd never get on top of the workload, that they're running to standstill. It's just the opposite of how they want to work. When they're working in Australia, they felt that they were better supported, better resourced to be the best that they can be. To be honest, that was what one of the doctors said to me. And I think that the Irish health system really needs to learn from Australia and better resource our health workers to be the best that they can be in the Irish health system rather than in the Australian health system.
Now, that was Niamh Humphreys from the Royal College of Surgeons, who has been gathering data on the recruitment and retention of health staff. Now, still with me in studio are Minister of State of the Department of Health and Fianna Fáil TD for Waterford, Mary Butler, Marion Harkin, Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim from our Athlone studio, and Marie Sherlock, Labour TD for Dublin Central. Mary Butler, you've heard there what Niamh Humphreys had to say. I suppose, what's the big plan for encouraging people to come back?
So, we discussed this at length during the programme for government talks. We would have met with Bernard Gloucester. We would have met with the Sec General of the department. And this is one of the things that we really focused on. Now, I think we have to accept that the fact that 28,000 more staff are employed within the HSC since the start of 2020, and 9,500 nurses and midwives were hired in the last 4.5 years as well. So it's not the fact that we're not hiring, but in relation to the specific question, there will be a dedicated focus on considering measures to attract and retain staff in the health and social care sector. And it was interesting to hear Dr. Humphreys there, because she spoke about, you know, international healthcare workers that come to Ireland, and we're at about 44%. Where we, you know, there's a perception out there that we should have enough in Ireland. But just in relation to home care, for example, 2 years ago, I was in a position as minister to have a budget to deliver 22 million home care hours, but we didn't have enough of staff. So I finally received from the Department of Business permits to recruit overseas. And within 1 year, 1,000 staff had come in. And that permit has been extended again this year to 500, because we had tried everything at home to get people to work in the home care sector. And whereas we have a lot of people working in the home care sector, such is the demand, we weren't able to get the staff to do so.
On the medical issue, so for example, you know, an area you'd know, the, you know, child and adolescent mental health services, there's a lot of demand for child psychiatrists abroad. So, I mean, I suppose, first of all, what's the current vacancy rate in CAMHS, do you know, and how would Ireland entice people to come back and fill those positions?
So we have over 800 dedicated people working in CAMHS. We have 90 consultant psychiatrists working in CAMHS specifically. We have 90 people just working specifically with eating disorder teams, of which 8 are consultant psychiatrists. What I will think will help, it doesn't affect the consultant psychiatrists now, it's in relation to the consultant contracts that Minister Stephen Donnelly put in place.
How many posts are empty at the moment?
No, what I want to say to you is that we have over 60% sign up of the consulting contracts, which is much more than was expected. It has slowed down now, but that will certainly make a difference. In relation to consultant psychiatry, we are dependent quite a lot of consultants from outside of Ireland. We have a situation, as you know, in Kerry South, for example, where we haven't been able to fill a post with almost 10 years.
And an overall, I think, 61% staff vacancy rate in the Cork and Kerry
CH04 area. But not in all areas. There's over 12,000 people, dedicated staff, working in mental health services across the country.
Right.
There are areas where we are really challenged.
But what I'm hearing there is, you know, and I'll come to Marian Harkin on this. Marian Harkin, I'm hearing from Mary Butler there, continuity from the progress she feels that was made in the lifetime of the last government. Do you understand there to be any new big idea to get people back or to stop them leaving in this programme for government?
Well, I think certainly the intention to employ significant numbers of extra healthcare staff is there. But you're absolutely right. What you've got to look at is how you can entice people to stay at home and then to remain at home, and how you can attract people back. And that comes down to a serious effort at workforce planning. And I think it's an area where we absolutely need to strengthen. We recognise people want to go abroad because they can sometimes go to bigger hospitals and sometimes they have better lifestyles. But crucially, for a lot of people, it's about better working conditions. And that is, nobody is going to change that overnight. And we have a responsibility to ensure safe working conditions for staff and for our patients. So I believe myself that over the lifetime of this government, there has to be a major effort on retaining the staff we have, attracting some of those who have left to come back.
Why do you think it'll be different?
Staff numbers.
Okay, well, I suppose the training doesn't deal in and of itself with the retention issue. Why do you believe it'll be different this time?
Because it must be. Because we are promising so many new services that you need staff to deliver those services. So it is the responsibility of the incoming Minister for Health, and with support obviously from the Enterprise Minister, to ensure that whether it's incentives initially to try and readjust what is happening. It's a bit like, for example, if you want to try and get enough women in politics, you have to initially put in incentives until you get to a point where that's no longer necessary, that becomes how business is done.
It might be an unfortunate example to draw on, given the number of women in the Oireachtas and how long it's taken to boost those numbers. I mean, is that the kind of time scale we're talking about?
No, it can't be. Certainly in the area of health, it absolutely cannot be, because we need those workers. We need to provide the incentives that they will stay here. They need to see career pathways. I think that's crucially important
for all workers.
Okay, that they are not overwhelmed with the level of work they have to do.
Unfortunately, many of the doctors who are recruited from abroad would say those career pathways aren't open to them. They remain in non-consultant posts with no obvious pathway towards training for them. But Marie Sherlock, what Marian Harkin seems to be, Mary Butler is pointing to what she says is the record of the previous government. Marian Harkin says that the ambition of the programme for government in and of itself provides the imperative to address this issue.
Yeah, and look, listen, I very much welcome the ambition set out, but you know, I think we have seen time and again, we see clinical programmes announced and then an incapacity and a failure to meet meet that need. So at the moment, as I understand it, like we're 40 teams short across mental health clinical programmes. So, you know, programmes that we so desperately need in ADHD, dual diagnosis, early intervention psychosis. You know, there's huge shortages there.
What would the Labour Party do?
Well, I think firstly, we need to have bursaries, recruitment bursaries for those coming out of college. We need to have, I suppose, a huge issue for me is in terms of retention, because we are seeing a drip feed or an exit out of, in particular, disability services, particularly the services that I know well, particularly in Dublin. Dublin. And when I think of those people who love the job that they're doing, but because of the massive waiting lists, because of the HSE's pay a number strategy, which effectively has suppressed roles that, like, so we've had a situation where roles that couldn't be filled, those, the HSE has effectively said to organisations now, those roles are no longer needed. Like, that is ludicrous. The need is still there. And I must say, Colm, like, it's burned into my brain. I had a conversation 6 months ago with a woman who told me she's a psychologist and one of the biggest mental health providers in this city. She's there 30 years, enormous experience, but she's burnt out, right? She wants to go part-time. She's not allowed to go part-time. Okay. She's going to end up walking away from her job. Okay. And that is a story being told right
across
the board.
Can I just put a little bit of balance? I'll do it very briefly. Yeah. 2 points I want to make. First, going down, in 2023, the HSE were funded to recruit 6,000 staff. They recruited 8,239. And just in relation to the clinical programmes, I, as Minister, working with Minister Donnelly and the last government, have done more for clinical programmes in mental health and funded them. Eating disorder teams are funded to 8 million recurring funding per year now. When I came into post in 2020, we had 3 teams, 1 in place. By the end of this year, we'll have 14 of the 16 teams. And I've managed with this year's budget to roll out ADHD teams for adults in each area of the
and
country.
And Mary, we welcome them. But the key thing is, one thing to announce
they're in place.
It's another thing to actually fill those gaps.
Can I just say, with an increased population and the demand for services has to be factored in as well.
All right, we do have to move on because after this, we're going to be hearing from an Irish woman who's working in a field hospital in Gaza. Back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.